Amen. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? Good morning. What a delight it is to be back in Thomasville. Someone asked me why I haven't been back. I said the pastor hadn't invited me back. I usually don't just show up because then churches get worried. Why is the overseer here? And the pastor gets worried. What is the overseer doing here? But no, it's a delight to be with you on this special occasion. Thank you, Pastor Green, for giving me this opportunity. Commend you, church, for making this day possible. It's because of you and your faithfulness that we're standing here today. It's a delight to have Matt here. He's a tremendous help to me at the state office, and he wouldn't be worth half a hallelujah if it wasn't for that woman sitting beside him there. Tracy is a great blessing also to us, and I commend Pastor Green and Sherry. What an awesome pastoral couple you have. Amen. Give them a hand. Have you given them a hand yet? I think since being overseer in West North Carolina, I have made 125 pastoral placements. And usually tell churches, it's almost like having a baby. You know, they ask when somebody's having a baby, the parents are usually asked, do you want a boy or do you want a girl? It really doesn't matter what they want, but that they want what they get. And same thing with churches. Some churches get what they want, then don't want what they get. But you've got what you needed and got what you wanted. And I commend Pastor and Sister Green on their dedication to you and to being at this church. Sister Barnett, it's an honor for me to get to meet you and to be with you in service today. So many times our retired ministers feel like they are forgotten, but you're not forgotten. Your labor has not been forgotten. And this church has not forgotten you. And God certainly hasn't forgotten you and your husband and the many hours of service and labors and sacrifices that you made. I call God the great accountant. You know, we tend to forget, but God doesn't. He keeps a record. Everything you do for him, he's got a record of it. And one day you will get your reward. I commend Brother and Sister Craven, also good friends. And I'm sorry you were not able to be here. But he's a great man of God, and they did an outstanding work. And I commend you, Brother and Sister Craven, also. And you said Sister Jones is still alive. So all those. Well, what we do is Jonesville, Sister Simmons in Jonesville. Okay. It reminds me of a story I heard about three old women who were sitting around talking. And one lady said, you know, I go to the refrigerator and can't remember if I need to put something in or need to get something out. The other lady said, well, you know, I go to the bottom of the stairways and I can't remember if I just came down or if I need to go up. And the third lady said, well, knock on wood, that hasn't happened to me yet. A minute later, she said, I wonder who that is at the door. So it happens to us as we get older. Now, I noticed Brother Green wears glasses. I should wear glasses. Don't have to wear glasses. I have monovision in one eye and multifocal in one eye and astigmatism in the other eye. Anyway, one eye I can see up close and one eye I can see how far. And somehow my brain separates it so I don't have to wear glasses a whole lot except when I take my contacts out. But I am old. This state has aged me since being here in West North Carolina. But again, it's just a delight to be with you, and I commend all of you and your what you've done. You as a church, as Matt said, need to be commended for your faithfulness. And God has certainly blessed you and has actually positioned you to do a great work for God in these last days. I believe Jesus is coming back. And what we're going to do for him, we must do and do quickly. And I commend you on being in that place. Now, here's the deal. Some people say, well, we need to start putting that money in savings, save it for a rainy day. Now, I believe in saving for a rainy day, but rainy days will always come. Some people are going to say, we ought to give the pastor a raise. I agree. You ought to give the pastor a raise in salary. And I think the council has already increased his expense. And I commend you for that, council. You ought to take care of the man of God. But really, what you really need to think about is committing the money you have been spending on a mortgage to mission in this community. And I'm going to talk about that here today. I want to preach to you this morning on the thought, what makes a great church? What is it that makes a great church. All of you think you've got a great church, or you wouldn't be here, probably. You'd be at another church. But you think this is a great church. What is it that makes a great church? If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 16. I know I used to do PowerPoints and used to bring them in with churches, but I found that they can't keep up with me and causes more confusion than it does help. And also found out that people have gotten lazy and don't bring their Bibles to church. I do see some opening their Bible, which is good. And listen to me, folks. I'd rather you see it up there than not see it at all. So I'm not a bit opposed to it. If you could find Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19 is what I want to read for the text this morning. Very familiar passage of Scripture. But here's the way I feel about carrying the Bible. The Bible says that we need to take on the whole armor of God that we may withstand an evil day. And the Bible is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And what if you met the devil on the way to church and didn't have your Bible? What would you fight him with? So I believe carry your Bible. Carry the book with you. Matthew chapter 16. Would you stand, if you can, for the reading of God's word and also for prayer? And he told me not to look at the clock, not to worry about it. But I'm human. I like to eat just like you do. I will not go any longer than I have to. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. And also, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Father, we're grateful for the presence of the Lord that we've already sensed in this house today. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the worshiping song. Thank you for the praises and testimonies that have gone forth this morning. But now, God, as I break the word of life, I ask for a special anointing, a divine unction of the Spirit. I cannot preach unless you anoint me. I acknowledge my need of you. I need you to give me clear thoughts, clarity of expression, that I might deliver the word you've laid on my heart for this service today. And God, if there's anybody here this morning who does not know Christ as Savior, Holy Spirit, would you convict them of their sins, convince them of their need of salvation, and bring them to an altar of prayer. Yes. And we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Several years ago, at the General Assembly, they invited a woman to speak to the women's service, and she prayed about it. "God, what do you want me to say to the women of the Church of God?" And she said, God laid this thought on her heart, and I just want to share it with you. It's not part of the message, well, it is part, but she said, "God told me to ask you, the Church of God, what good is sound doctrine if the church is sound asleep? What makes a great church? On the one hand, there are those who see nothing right about the church." And you can ask them, there's probably some here today who can criticize this or criticize that. Sometimes the music is too loud. Sometimes it's too soft. Sometimes it's too fast. Sometimes it's too slow. Sometimes the temperature is too hot. Sometimes it's too cold. You just cannot please everybody. And some people just cannot find anything good to say about the church. On the other hand, there are those who seem blind to the problems in the church and just ignore them, hoping that they go away. There are some people who say that the usefulness of the church has been outlived and lists many things that are wrong with the church. But one thing we do understand is that the church was instituted by God. This is a divine institution, is the church. And many churches have become museums of what God did yesterday and are missing out. You see, we're here today for celebration, not preservation. And there's a difference. between celebration and preservation. Your past is a foundation to build upon, not a museum to preserve. And too many churches have become museums of what God used to do, how God used to bless. They tell you what God used to do, but cannot tell you what God is doing right now. You see, I believe that God is interested in live churches, not dead churches. Live churches constantly adapt to the needs of their community. Dead churches simply stay the same. Live churches have lots of noise. Dead churches are very quiet. Live churches constantly review their mission and their vision, whereas dead churches simply glory in their past. Live churches move out in faith. Dead churches operate totally by sight. Live churches focus on people. Dead churches focus on programs. Live churches are filled with tithers. Dead churches are filled with tippers. Live churches dream great dreams. Dead churches relive nightmares. Live churches evangelize. Dead churches fossilize. So what is the church? The church is not an ark to carry a few safely to heaven, like Noah built an ark for his family. The church is not a cruise ship for a lot of lazy Christians to give them an easy ride to heaven. The church is not a social club welcoming some but not others. The church is a company of believers who come from all races, all social backgrounds, all cultures, all ethnicities, because the church is the ekklesia, is the Greek word. The called out ones. It's those whom the Holy Spirit has called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And if you're saved this morning and you know that you're saved, you're a part of the church of the living God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because it's His church. When Jesus ascended to heaven, He didn't leave His disciples any money in the bank. He didn't leave them any property. He didn't leave them any building. All He left them with was the promise of power. And He told them to go win the world. And that was enough. It was the simple power of the Holy Spirit. Not property, not a building, not a mortgage. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that made the difference. And they went out to win the world. Yes. And let me just say this. And please, I am not criticizing you. And I am in no way demeaning what you've done. But the angels do not rejoice when you build a new building. They do not rejoice when you carpeted the floors and padded the pews. They did not rejoice when you paved the parking lot. They did not rejoice when you paid off the mortgage. The angels rejoice when a sinner comes to the altar and gives his heart to God. And my prayer for you as a church, my challenge to you as a church, is to keep the angels dancing. Somebody being born into the kingdom of God. It's not enough. It's not enough to have a great building and a great pastor and a great music company if the spiritual crib is empty. We need to see people being saved today. The Holy Spirit is still convicting. The Holy Spirit is still calling. And we need as a church to welcome anybody that God brings into the house of God. It doesn't matter if they are a drunkard. It doesn't matter if they are a drug addict. It doesn't matter if they are a prostitute. It doesn't matter if they are homosexual. They're all called of God to come to Christ, come to Calvary, and become a part of the church of the living God. The glory of this church is not that it is a church of God. I'm glad you're a church of God, but that's not the glory of this church. The glory of this church is not that it has Pastor Green as its pastor. He's a great pastor. They're doing a great job, but that's not the glory of this church. The glory of this church is not the people who are on the rolls. That doesn't make the glory of the church. The glory of this church is not that you have a great ministry team or great music. The glory of this church is that it is Christ's church. On Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus said to Peter in our text, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. He didn't say it was Peter's church. He didn't say it was the elders' church. He didn't say it was the pastor's church. He didn't say it was a Baptist church or a Methodist church or a Catholic church or a church of God. He said it is my church. This is God's church. This is God's building. You're God's people this morning. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, no one can lay any foundation other than the one that already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation of this church is the belief that Jesus is the Son of God, that He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified, put in a borrowed tomb. He rose on the third day. He ascended to the Father. And right now He is sitting by the right hand of God, making intercession for you and me. And Jesus is coming back to earth again. Praise God. That's what the foundation of this church is. And a great church is built on the right foundation. Secondly, a great church functions in its mission. And I hope you hear me this morning. Jesus gave the church the keys of the kingdom. The keys represent authority. And with authority comes responsibility to carry out His work. And that's the function of the church. One of the most fascinating sights to visit in Washington, D.C. is the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Have any of you ever been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? Visited? Yeah, there's a few. Every 30 minutes they have a changing of the guard. A guard comes up. And the guard's duty is to march 21 steps, pause for 21 seconds, do an about face, march the other direction for 21 steps, pause for 21 seconds, turn around, and march back. For 30 minutes, he marches back and forth, 21 seconds representing a 21-gun salute for those fallen soldiers whom nobody can identify. When the time comes for his shift to end, the sergeant brings out his replacement. They stand in the middle, and the sergeant tells the guard who was on duty to pass the orders to the guard who's coming on duty. And the guard who has been on duty says, orders remain unchanged. Yes. Did you know that since 1937, 85 years, for 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, doing hurricanes, doing winter, there's been somebody guarding that tomb. And the orders have not changed. And hear me. When Jesus left this earth, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And can I tell you, our orders have not changed. It's been 2,000 years, but He's still saying, go ye, not sit, wait for people to come, go ye and teach all nations. That is your challenge as a church. And now you're poised to do it even better than what you have done in the past. You've had the burden of a mortgage on you, but now you've got extra funds. And I challenge you, church, find a need in this community and fill it. Find something, some area that is not being ministered to. Find a need in this church and fill it. Let me ask you a question. What would this community think if this church disbanded and closed down? Would they miss you at all in this community? You ought to be making a difference. And I believe you are. I believe you are. You have great influence. But hear me. There is more influence you can have because now you have money that you can use for ministry and for the mission. People need to see Jesus today. There's so many people who want to give you their opinion. Tell you their opinion about politics, their opinion about the weather, their opinion about the overseer, their opinion about the pastor, their opinion about their husband or their wife. But I tell you what people want is to see Jesus. Just like the Bible in Matthew chapter 2, wise men came to Jerusalem after Jesus was born saying, we want to see Jesus born King of the Jews. In John chapter 12, some Greeks came to Philip the apostle and said, sir, we would see Jesus. Zacchaeus, who was a wee little man, as we used to sing, climbed up in a sycamore tree. Why? Because he wanted to see Jesus. And can I tell you, that is the greatest need in this world today. They don't need another ministry named after another man. They need to see Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus is who they need to see. Hallelujah. You may have heard, read about the story of the Titanic. It was April 14th, 1912, when the Titanic left Southampton, England, on its way across the North Atlantic to America. Captain Cook wanted to make it in record time, so he laid the coal on the boiler and started toward New York. About 2 o'clock in the morning, you know the story. They saw an iceberg. The watchmen saw an iceberg, but they could not turn the ship in time. And it ran along that iceberg and it gouged a gash in the side of the Titanic. They said it was unsinkable. So they only put 60 lifeboats, only 20 lifeboats that could hold 60 people each, 1,200 people. Did you know there were 2,220 people on board? And they only had lifeboats for 1,200. Because of Titanic, it sank within 2 hours after striking the iceberg. They loaded the lifeboats too quickly. They only filled them with women and children at first to get them on because they knew they didn't have enough lifeboats for the men. Some of the passengers tried to launch lifeboats themselves and they got jammed. They got several of the lifeboats launched and there were 700 people on board the lifeboat. Those who could not get in the lifeboats donned life jackets and jumped into the frigid waters of the North Atlantic. And they began to cry out to those in the lifeboat, "Come and help us." But the ones who were in the lifeboat rowed away from the Titanic because they were afraid of getting caught up in the whirlpool that would be caused by the sinking of the Titanic. They rowed away from those who were crying to be saved. Finally, as the Titanic sunk, one of the lifeboats turned back and rescued 6 people who were still alive. The rest had succumbed to hypothermia for being in the water, the frigid water of the North Atlantic. And here's the tragedy. 3 days later, they sent funeral ships to collect bodies that they could find. They recovered 328 bodies floating in a life jacket. These 328 people survived the sinking of the Titanic. They died because those who were saved would not turn around and help them. And hear me, church. God has called you to be a lifeboat, a lighthouse in this town, this community. You can't say, "I'm saved. Let them worry about themselves." God has saved you so that you can save somebody else. I dare say there's not a family in here that doesn't have a lost loved one that they want to see saved. A son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, a mother, father, somebody in their family. And I tell you, you've got to stay focused on the mission. That is our mission. That is your mission, is to see the lost people saved in this community. This is your challenge. That's why God put you here. That's why God gave a vision to your former pastors to put a church here in Thomasville. You've got to stay focused on the mission. You've got to avoid what I call WMDs, spiritual WMDs. You remember the Iraqi war? We invaded Iraq because of weapons of mass destruction they were claimed to have. But what I call these WMDs are weapons of mass distraction. Satan will try to distract you with the news. He'll try to distract you with Facebook. He'll try to distract you with what's going on in your life. But you got to stay focused. Your focus as a child of God is trying to win somebody else to Christ, to be a soul winner. A great church functions in its mission. And you've got a choice. How will you spend the extra money, find a need, and fill it? And then again, I think a great church knows its faith, knows what it believes. You know, we were good about telling people what we didn't believe in. We don't believe in dancing, smoking, drinking, going to the movies. We used to didn't believe in going to the movies. And we could tell people what we didn't believe in, but couldn't tell them what we do believe in. And we live in a time of political correctness where they'll tell you it's not politically correct to say there's only one way to heaven. But there is only one way to heaven. That's what the Bible says. Yes. It's not politically correct to call alcoholism an addiction. It is a sickness, they say. It's not politically correct to preach against the sin of homosexuality and transgenderism. However, in the past 2,000 years, the church has lived through persecution and scandal and attack. But the church still stands. Why? Because it's based upon the living word of God. Yes. Jesus said, Matthew 24 and 35, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away." And in this day of uncertainty, in this day of dishonesty, this day of abused trust, There's not much anyone can trust anymore, but you can trust God's Word. You can trust God's Word. Because prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And here's the thing, folks. I believe this book doesn't just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God from Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation 21. This is the Word of God. And let me ask you, how big is your Bible? Right. Now, I'm not talking about what size it is. Some have a large print version. Some have just a New Testament version. Well, what? Just a New Testament. What is the size of your Bible? It's only as big as what you read. Some people only read the New Testament. Some will read the New Testament Psalms, but that's all they read. But I'm telling you, this is the whole Bible. This is the whole Word of God. And God will speak through it to you if you listen to it. But hear me, we need to keep believing because the Bible says it. I believe that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. I believe that God took a rib out of the side of man and formed the woman to be a helpmate to him. I believe that the serpent lied and deceived Adam and Eve, and they sinned in the garden and passed sin to us. I believe that it rained 40 days and 40 nights, but Noah had built an ark for the saving of his family. I believe that the Red Sea parted and the Israelites walked across on dry ground. I believe that that same sea came back and drowned all the Egyptians. I believe it because the Bible says it. I believe we need to keep teaching that Jericho, the walls around Jericho, fell flat. And all the Israelites had to do was march around it. But God kicked them over. I believe that the sun stood still in the battle of Gibeon. I believe that Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with an ox goad. I believe that David killed a giant with a sling and a smooth stone. I believe that 3 Hebrew boys survived a fiery furnace. I believe that Daniel survived a night with the lions. I believe that Jesus walked on the water. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. And that he's coming again. I believe it because the Bible says it. And as a church of God, we need to keep affirming that we believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. That this is God divinely inspired. He gave the writers the words to say. We believe in one God eternally existing in 3 persons. Namely the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. As a church of God, we believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, that Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, that he ascended to heaven and is today at the right hand of the Father as the intercessor. We believe that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that repentance is commanded of God for all and necessary for forgiveness of sins. We believe that justification, regeneration, and the new birth are wrought by faith in the blood of Christ. We believe in sanctification subsequent to the new birth through faith in the blood of Christ, through the Word, and by the Holy Ghost. We believe holiness to be God's standard of living. We believe in the baptism with the Holy Ghost subsequent to a clean heart. We believe in speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, and that it is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We believe in water baptism by immersion. And all who repent should be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We believe that divine healing is provided for all in the atonement. We believe in the Lord's Supper and washing of the saints' feet. We believe in the premillennial second coming of Jesus Christ. First to catch away the righteous dead and catch away the living saints to him in the air. And second to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And we believe in the bodily resurrection, eternal life for the righteous, and eternal punishment for the wicked. Here's the thing, church. We got to keep preaching. Jesus is still in the saving business. He's still in the sanctifying business. He's still in the baptizing business. He's still in the healing business. He's still in the delivering business. He's still baptizing with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. And we need to keep believing Jesus is coming back to earth again. And that's the last thing. A great church understands its future. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hear me. the gates of hell shall not prevail. That means we don't have to have a hold the fort till Jesus comes attitude. It was not a church on the defense. It was a church that was on the offense. It saw the church moving out and the gates of hell not being able to stand against it. Many people have adopted the attitude, well, I'm saved. I'm just going to sit back and wait till Jesus comes. He never intended for his church to just sit back and hold the fort. He wants us to charge the enemy. Charge the enemy gates. Don't be satisfied with just having good singing, having good preaching, having a good church building to worship in. Your challenge is to be a soul winning church in this community. Yes. Praise God. Yes. We need a vision for what God wants us to do in these last days. Our problem is we have such lame, tame visions. Just get me through the day, Lord. But then if we have sickness tomorrow, we want him to get us through the next day. And the next day, I will say, just help me last till retirement, Lord. And we just have lame, tame visions. But I tell you, God has a vision for what he wants in this church. And the question is, will you rise up to the challenge of what God is calling you to be? Now, anytime a pastor tries to change things or do something new or different, they're what I call brigades. You know what a fire brigade was in the old days? Out in the West, they'd have a well, a certain whole town. If there was a fire, they'd put a chain and they'd dip buckets in the well and pass them down the chain and throw it on the fire. Well, we got those brigades in the church. When the pastor wants to do something, they'll throw water on his fire. There's the analyzer brigade. They don't say no. They say, well, we just need to study a little longer, Pastor. They love the process more than the project. Then there's the traditional brigade. These are the folks who say, well, we never done it that way before, Pastor. Or we tried it that way and it failed, Pastor. And throw water on the idea. Then there's the holy brigade. We say, well, we just need to pray about it a little while longer. What if so-and-so leaves? What if we can't pay our bills? What if? And they live with the what ifs. And don't do what God calls them to do. And then there's the whining brigade. Well, they say, well, what happens if we don't get it done? What might happen? And they whine about what might happen. But hear me. This is God's man for this church. And I challenge you to follow the vision God lays through him. If you'll follow the vision, God will bless you for that vision. Several years ago, I was at a chapel at headquarters when I worked in Cleveland with the general overseer. And Paul Henson, you may not know Paul Henson. Some of you older folks might remember him, but he was a great preacher, a great man of God. And he shared a poem in that chapel service that I've never forgotten. And he said, if you had been living when Christ was on earth and had known the Savior kind, what would you have asked of him, supposing you had been born blind? Think about it. And when you had considered and then replied, I suppose without a doubt, you would have said, I'd like a dog with a collar and chain to lead my steps about. And how often we in our faithless prayers confess with shame surprise, we only ask for a dog and chain when we could have asked for open eyes. What I'm saying to you is you ought to ask largely of God. You can't ask too big of God. What would you like God to do in this community? What would you like to see? How you'd like to see God change things? The pastor was sharing me how there's a satanic club starting on a school in Greensboro. I'm telling you, the power of God is greater than the power of Satan. And if the church would sit back and say, well, let them do what they want to do, I'm telling you, you can storm heaven and God can stop what they're trying to do. They're already trying to corrupt our children with gay and gender identity. And it's simply a trick of the devil. But the church sits back and doesn't say anything. And teachers, Christian school teachers, perhaps some here today, are going to be challenged. They cannot refer to a student by what their biological birth was. They have to refer to them by what gender they happen to identify with on a particular day. We're facing some very difficult times, church. And the church has got to make a stand. But that's what makes a great church. A great church understands its foundation. A great church understands and functions in its mission. A great church understands its future. And a great church tries to be all that God has called it to be. But here's the question. Are you a member of the church? I'm not talking about Thomasville Church of God. Are you a member of the great church of God? You've been saved. Your sins have been forgiven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if Jesus were to come back today, you're ready to go be with him. I know you've heard invitations given before many, many times. But let me tell you something. I believe the time is short. If you're going to get right with God, you need to get right with God now. Don't put it off. Don't wait. We don't have any promise of tomorrow. All we have is what time he allows us. Are you a part of the church? If you're a part of the church, you need to find out, what are you doing? Why did God save you? He didn't save you to be a pew warmer. He didn't save you just to attend and pay tithes. He saved you for a reason. There's something God wants you to do. And if everybody functions in what God has called them to do, there won't be any lack of workers, any lack of Sunday school teachers, any lack of helpers, because people will be operating in what God has called them to do. What has God called you to do? If it's just to vacuum the carpet, I tell you, your reward will be just as great if you vacuum the carpet as if you sing in the choir or sing on the praise team. If God has called you to pray for the pastor every day, I'm telling you, your reward will be just as great. But you need to be doing what God has called you to do. You are saved for a purpose. You're saved for this season. Saved for a reason. What has God called you to do? Would you stand with me? Would the praise team come back? Would you sing that same song you sang before the message? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Is that one they sang? Yeah. Because that's the name. There is no other name but the name of Jesus. And this church, God has blessed you. He is blessing you. He is going to bless you if you continue doing what God has called you to do. Would you bow your heads as they prepare to sing? Father, thank you for this service today. Thank you for these people. I thank you for their commitment to you. Thank you for their commitment to pay all this indebtedness. Thank you, God, for how you've blessed this pastor and his wife. And I pray a special blessing upon this church and pastor. God, would you help them to become a great mission-minded church, doing what you've called them to do, what you want them to do in this community, in Thomasville. God, may they assist somebody else in their mission. Whatever it is that you lay on the heart of this pastor to lead this church, God, we pray that you would bless them and use them. And now, God, if there's anybody here this morning who does not know you as their Savior, Holy Spirit, would you convict them of their sins? Convince them of their need of salvation. God, we'd love to see somebody saved around these altars today. If there's anybody here, would you draw them to this altar of prayer in Jesus' name? As they sing this song, if you'd like special prayer, I invite you to come and we'll have prayer with you. We're not going to embarrass you, but we'll pray with you. God will meet the need.